Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The report on how to reform Massachusetts' criminal justice system is out today. While it says that the state has the second lowest per capita incarceration rate in the nation, it also says more than half of the people leaving jails and prisons end up returning at some point. Here's Governor Charlie Baker speaking about the Council of State Governments report.
Armed with the findings of this report, we are now better equipped to help more folks who've paid their dues get back on the right track. And by working with our partners in the legislature and the courts, we can continue to improve our criminal justice system going forward.
Joining us now is Katie Moshauer, who is with the Council of State Governments. Welcome to Radio Boston, Katie.
Hi, Deborah. Thanks for having me.
So this report has been a little over a year in the making, and it's focusing on recidivism. Why?
Well, the Council of State Governments Justice Center analyzed 13 million criminal justice records over the last 18 months as part of the justice reinvestment process. And what we saw was that recidivism is a main driver of the criminal justice system. So you've heard quite a number of times us say that, you know, half of people leaving the Department of Corrections and two-thirds of people leaving the House of Corrections come back to the criminal justice system within 3 years. But looking in total, 75% of people with convictions have had previous convictions. So 3 out of 4 people in the criminal justice system are returning. That's a really large footprint that can be impacted by working on recidivism reduction strategies.
And this report suggests that one way might be, and some of the reasons behind those numbers might be because of probation and parole, that many of the folks who are going into correctional facilities are on community supervision. So what do you say to that?
Well, parole and probation are both great tools when they have the resources and the training and the know-how to be good tools. And that's a lot of what we saw was that there's some infrastructure in both probation and parole, and if building on that, helping them really use best practices to identify individuals' needs, to connect that person to services, and to really build a relationship and help hold that person accountable as well as encourage them to participate in necessary programs or treatments. That can really make all the difference for a person and really help someone, you know, travel a straight path rather than follow the arc back into the criminal justice system.
When you talk about programs, that was a key issue in this report. It said in 2015, less than half of the people released from correctional facilities in Massachusetts had completed their recommended programming. And a lot of this may be that folks aren't encouraged to do it or don't have the wherewithal to actually sign up for the programming, but many said there were long wait lists and availability of programming was an issue. And certainly if you look at the Department of Corrections budget, only about $200,000 is allocated for certain types of programs. So there's also a resource issue there. What do you do to try to improve that programming so folks may be able to acquire some of the skills they need to leave successfully and not recidivate? And so you can also make sure that maybe they'll earn good time and can get out sooner.
And that's a great point. So in one of our policy options, we do recommend a bigger investment in programming during incarceration. Like you said, there are long wait lists, and that is a resource issue. We also really looked at the ways that there are opportunities to expand programming. Some cognitive behavioral therapy programs can be inexpensive but very effective in helping to reduce recidivism. So we not only recommend an investment, but also an evaluation on what's really working and where there might be opportunities to leverage resources a little differently so that folks can participate and benefit in a broader way.
Any idea about costs of improving programming or trying to reduce wait lists?
Absolutely. So in the report, we also outline possible investments in the criminal justice system. And in the first year, we recommended around $700,000 as an investment into Department of Correction programming. And we worked with the Department of Corrections to really understand what they thought they would need to bring programs to bear that would make a meaningful impact. So that's a good start, and then we recommend over time to ramp that up a little bit to meet what the department feels like they would need.
You know, some folks have said that this report focuses on the back end of criminal justice and isn't focusing on preventative efforts. What do you say to that?
Well, when 3/4 of folks in the system are coming back to the system, I think looking at the back end is also looking at the front end. I think that's really critical. And really, the report and the policy options outline ways to help with rehabilitation. I think that's critical. It's about connecting people to programs while they're incarcerated, making sure that folks have programs and services after they're incarcerated in the community. And there's also a huge behavioral health strategy that's really all about helping address the root challenges that someone might have that ends up with them being entangled in the criminal justice system.
And from here, state lawmakers look at this report and then form legislation accordingly. Is that right, Katie?
Correct. We do anticipate that a bill will be filed very soon that really reflects a number of the policies outlined in the report. We've also heard really strong commitments from the three branches to pursue administrative policy to implement other policy options. And we were very excited to hear from the governor this morning that he's also recommended in his budget funding to help support the initial investments that were outlined.
Okay. Katie Mosehauer, who is project manager for state initiatives at the Council of State Governments, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks so much.